Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Running for Beginners podcast. I'm your host, Mike Fleming, and today's episode is a game changer for anyone who's wondered, am I eating right for my running goals? Joining me is someone who truly lives at the intersection of performance and wellness, Ms. Cassie Dimmick, a gym owner, running coach, dietitian, and an active runner herself. Her professional credentials include registered dietitian, nutritionist, certified specialist in sports dietetics, certified exercise physiologist through the American College of Sports Medicine, and Roadrunners Club of America certified running coach. Cassie also holds dual Bachelor of Science degrees in microbiology and nutrition from Texas A&M University and a master's degree in nutrition from Texas Women's University in the Houston Medical Center. She completed her dietetic internship at the VA Hospital in Houston in 2001 and has spent the last 25 years working in the wellness and fitness industry. We'll dive into the real-world challenges beginner runners face with nutrition, not just the trendy stuff, but what works, what doesn't, and how to fuel your runs without overthinking it. Whether you're training for a 10K, your first half marathon, or just running for your health, this is an episode you won't want to miss. We'll dive into the real-world challenges beginner runners face with nutrition, not just the trendy stuff, but what works and what doesn't, and how to fuel your runs without overthinking it. In this conversation, we explore how to build balanced meals for energy and recovery, why hydration matters more than most runners realize, what eating for endurance actually looks like, and how to avoid trendy nutrition traps, the one mindset shift that everyone needs to make about food. Whether you're training for a 10K, your first half marathon, or just running for your health, this is an episode you won't want to miss. And if you enjoy this episode, please follow, rate, and post a comment or review to the podcast. It really helps others discover the show. Welcome to Running for Beginners, a podcast my buddy and I thought was needed for new runners to help them and show them what they'll likely run into on their journey, just like Jeremy and I did coming up on 4 years now. I'm your host, Mike Fleming. With the support of my small running group, I'm excited to guide you through another 12 episodes this season, just like the last time, covering the challenges we faced and the ones you'll likely to encounter too, as well as finding inspiration. This is Season 2, Episode 9, Fuel to Go, Nutrition Advice from a Runner, Nutritionist, Dietitian, USCA Coach, and Overall Wellness Pro. This episode is brought to you by Rhone. That's R-O-N-E, Run on Nature's Energy. I take a Rhone honey packet on every run and at the gym when I need that extra push. In fact, this past November, I ran my second ever marathon. 6 days later, I ran my first 40-mile ultramarathon. On both days, I took a supply of Rhone supercharged honey packs to help me get to the finish line. Rhone makes a portable packet of supercharged honey that delivers clean, natural energy. No crash, no junk, just feel it works. It's made with raw honey, Himalayan salt, green tea caffeine, and lion's mane mushroom. It's a functional blend designed to boost energy, focus, and endurance whenever you need it. Whether you're training, creating, climbing, or just trying to stay sharp, Rhone helps you tap into your flow state and run on nature's energy. As runners and gym goers, we know how to push ourselves. We also know when to just enjoy the moment. That's what entering the flow state's all about. Showing up, being fully engaged, energized, present, and focused. Their supercharged honey is a quick source of natural carbs, electrolytes, energy, and focus. It's formulated with functional ingredients to provide a long-lasting boost of energy and focus without any crash. For a limited time, if you use the code RUNWITHMIKE at checkout, you'll receive a 20% discount on your order. Just use the code RUNWITHMIKE. And now on to the interview with nutritionist Cassie Dimmick. Well, thanks for joining me, Cassie. I hope I got all your credentials right. And if I missed any, please feel free to point them out.
That was perfect. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so we'll just dive right into the questions then. So my first question for you is, from your experience as both a runner and a person college educated in dietetics and nutrition, what are the most common nutrition mistakes beginner runners make, especially as they start to increase their mileage?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say probably the biggest mistake that I see, and I probably made myself as well, is not eating according to training. And so I think sometimes people maybe have a history of dieting and they are under eating. And then on the flip side, a lot of people think, oh, I'm running, I can eat whatever I want. So I think having, you know, either one side or the other is a common thing that I see where people aren't really hitting the mark and fueling themselves enough, but not too much, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I seem to figure it out real quick that you can't outrun a bad diet.
Yes, that is absolutely true. So running is awesome and allows for a lot of things, but outrunning a bad eating plan is not going to happen for sure.
So how does a runner's nutritional need change from their first few months into their second year, for example, when they may be training for longer races like 10Ks or half marathons?
For longer races, that requires longer training runs. And so having a little bit more intentional fueling plan typically is necessary. When you're first starting out, you know, often you're maybe training for 5Ks or something a little bit shorter, and your body is adapting a lot. So you do have a lot of, you know, higher protein needs and things like that. But the time on the road isn't always as long. So your carb needs may not be quite as high early on. But, you know, you still need to have those carbs, because as you become a more veteran runner, your body has all of these adaptations. It gets to burn fat more effectively as a fuel, which is really cool. And so when you're a new runner, you don't have those adaptations all set yet. And so you still need to have carbs, even though your miles are a little bit lower, because your body needs them for energy for your muscles, and it can't tap into those, you know, fat stores quite as quickly as it can after you have trained your body to do that effectively.
Okay. So you touched on having to have carbs, and I know we'll probably touch on them somewhere down the interview, but what kind of carbs would a runner bring with them, or how would they get their carbs as an intake?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think sometimes carbs have a bad rap, but they really are the energy for your brain and your working muscles. And when you're out there running, you know, they also, carbs are important for you metabolically getting to your fat stores. And so there's a lot of research out there, and certain people, you know, may do better with different types of plans. But I do find that for performance, and what consistently people are able to do and feel best with, is making sure that they have enough carbs to keep their blood sugar up and fuel their exercising muscles. And so I typically recommend bringing, you know, if it's before or after a run, having something that's a little more whole food based. It can be easy to digest. So, but like a whole grain toast or a fruit or something like that. If it's during a run, something that's more simple, that is easy to carry with you. And some people do like to do dates and things that are whole food based as well. But you can also do carbs from a sugar source like a gel or a sports drink or jelly beans or whatever. Your body is not going to get the same insulin response for most people during exercise as it does if you're just sitting on the couch. So those products are really helpful during your run. It keeps your blood sugar up and your brain happy. And when you're exercising, your hormones and your body isn't going to release that insulin to as much as it does when you're sitting down. So a lot of people don't understand that physiology, and they think, oh, my blood sugar is going to get really high, or I'm going to get all this insulin production and store fat if I'm eating sugar during exercise. But that just isn't what your body does physiologically.
Okay. That's great information. I didn't know that. So can you break down the basics of a pre-run and a post-run fueling, and what should runners be eating before and after the run for energy and recovery?
Yeah, so before workouts, the most important thing are those carbs typically. And so it depends on what time of day you're running as well, if you've had a meal or not had a meal, you know, so making sure that you've had something in your system within the last 4 hours. And so if you're waking up early in the morning, you're obviously not going to get up probably 4 hours before that to eat. So you could eat something as, you know, soon as 5 minutes to 30 minutes before you start a workout. And I would suggest something really easy. Like I said, the applesauce or banana, a piece of toast or graham crackers. I love graham crackers personally. That I've eaten those for 20 years before my runs. And it just feels great. It's easy on my stomach. But everybody again is different. So experimenting with something easy to get to, because you don't want something that takes a lot of time to digest if you're going to be having it within an hour of your run, because if it's still in your stomach it's not going to really be in your working muscles or helping you that much. So trying to get something that your body has an easy time with. And a lot of that morning fueling is to tell your brain it has fuel. So our brains are not aware that we have, you know, fast food on every corner, or you may have a fridge full of food. It knows what it's getting. And so if you, you know, start your exercise and you're fasted, you can get some adaptations, but you don't, that's not necessary, because running, you get those adaptations to burn fat anyways. And I find that, you know, over the years and looking at research, most people tend to do better if they have a little bit of carbs. And again, it could even be 100 calories, like one sheet of graham cracker or two sheets of graham cracker, one of those applesauce packs. And that just lets your brain know, hey, I've got fuel. You have some blood sugar to work with. And your brain does control all of your muscle fibers. And so it will tend to fire more muscles and do better in that run. And so that is the stuff I recommend before a run. And if you run later in the day, that you may have had a lunch or, you know, something, maybe you run in the afternoon or after work. And so, so that fueling can help you prepare for that run later. So that's where that 4 hours comes in. You may not want to have a heavy meal within, you know, 3 or 4 hours of your run, because a lot of people don't feel good. Some people have an iron stomach and they can eat anything and go run and they're fine, which is awesome. You know, but if you don't have an iron stomach, then I would suggest having a lighter lunch. You know, I've worked with Olympic athletes, and a lot of people love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's just like the, if you think about like a kindergarten lunch, that tends to settle really well for runners. So maybe having some carrots and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, some string cheese, and a piece of fruit, that could be a lunch that is, you know, really good for before and after work run. And then you would have, you know, maybe top it off with a granola bar, or like I said, a piece of fruit, an apple, you know, an hour or so before you run and then go out. So focusing on easy to digest and carbs before, to summarize that. For after, that's when you're recovering, and protein is, you know, more important at that point. We have a lot of protein research, and again, we don't have all the answers for everything, but they're thinking now it's not as important to have, okay, you have to within 15 or 20 minutes after you finish running have certain amount of protein. It is important to have protein, but how you spread it out throughout the day is more important. So if you can't get to that protein for an hour after your run, that's okay. So I always tell people to just do their best, you know, but you don't want to go on with your day and not eat any protein for many hours, you know, after a workout. You want to start that process soon. But don't get too caught up in, I have to eat within, you know, 15 or 20 minutes or whatever. I typically recommend having a snack with both carbs and protein. Protein's the building block for recovery. And so that gives your body the amino acids it needs to start that process. And then the carbs give your body the energy that it needs to do that. And so you also have to think about glycogen restorage for at that time. So when you run, especially you ask the question about when your mileage gets higher, you get these amazing adaptations to store more glycogen in your muscles. And I think of glycogen like fuel in your tank. And so that is readily available in your leg muscles. And as a runner, you can store more of that than somebody who is not a trained runner. And so think of that as your, you know, have you have bigger fuel stores, and then you have those capacities that are bigger. So if you are eating those carbs after a run, you're going to replenish those more readily and have more gas in the tank for your next run. And if you are training for things like marathons and that kind of stuff, that becomes extremely important because you can't get in enough food to fuel yourself only on food during the race. You need to have those stores built up ahead of time. And so during training is when you actually do that. So a lot of times people really focus on only protein after a run. And you also need those carbs in order to have the energy to start that rebuilding process, and then also store that glycogen, like I mentioned, and get ready for your next run. So you have time. And that timing is important if you have two-a-day workouts, which some people do split their runs up, or maybe you have a strength training workout and a run. Those kinds of things, the faster you get that fuel in, the faster your body's going to start that recovery process. And, you know, recovery is a huge part of improving as a runner, because your body does break down whenever you're running. And so what you do outside of that, which is the food, the rest, the timing, and making sure you're being consistent, is really is really helpful for you to get the most out of that recovery time, because most people are busy, you know, and so focusing on what you can control is important. So, and food is part of that.
Okay, that's terrific. Great answer. So much information. I don't know how people get through the beginning stages of running without having to talk to someone like yourself. So hydration is another.
Yeah, I actually wish I had had all this knowledge.
Yeah, no, I do too. I started, all my listeners have heard the story many times, but I started 4 years ago just on a whim kind of thing and became a New Year's resolution to run these races. And I'm learning as I'm going. And the best thing about starting this podcast is I get to interview experts like yourself. So it's not like I get the secret insider information because I share it with everybody, but I do feel a personal connection to it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to use that for my own good. So it's kind of nice, but I wish I had the information before I started. I probably wouldn't have had as many setbacks or things like that. But I mean, I started when I was older too, so I'll chalk it up to age. But anyway, so hydration is another thing that seems pretty simple. But many runners struggle with it. What's your take on staying properly hydrated before, during, and after a run? And before you answer, I try to stay hydrated a lot. I mean, all the time. I'm sipping on tea now, but I have a Gatorade off to my right. When I run, I always run with a handheld bottle of electrolyte, you know, water inside. I always do that. It doesn't matter what temperature is outside. I have it with me because I sweat a lot. I'm one of those heavy sweaters. So I constantly need to replenish myself. But I'm not sure if I'm doing it the right way. And I'm sure if I've been doing it for 4 years and I'm not 100% correct, I'm sure new people as well don't know what's the right way to do it. So let's hear it from you.
Yeah. So, and that's a great question because hydration is very important. And if you're dehydrated, you will slow down typically in your run. So your performance is going to be affected. And also I mentioned that glycogen that you store that comes from carbs, that energy source, that is, it requires water to store with it. So you need to be hydrated in order to store the glycogen that you need for energy. And so water is so important. It sounds like you're doing a good job drinking throughout the day. And that's one of the biggest things that you can do is be intentional about drinking throughout the day. So just like protein, you can't just get a huge amount of meat at night and not worry about it earlier in the day. It does require consistent intake of fluids throughout the day. And so usually I recommend about half of your body weight in ounces of fluid a day. And you can include tea and coffee if you are a caffeine drinker. It's not going to dehydrate you. And so a lot of people don't realize that. So that can help people get their intake in. And you can really hydrate yourself well with just plain water if you're having normal food throughout the day and eating, because that has electrolytes in it. If you need to hydrate yourself really quickly or during exercise, that's where electrolytes become even more important. And so electrolytes will help you hydrate faster. So during, after a workout, preparing for a workout, or maybe it's after a weekend and you know you didn't do a great job hydrating yourself, and so you're needing to make up for some of that dehydration, then the electrolytes really can be helpful. But if you typically drink plenty of fluids, you don't have to have electrolyte water to stay hydrated. So your body actually can hydrate itself really, really, really well with plain water and food. But again, that just takes a little bit longer to do. And dehydration can be cumulative. So if you get behind, you know, you really need to work to get back ahead and make sure that you're getting it in. You can drink too much water as well. And so as most people know now, you can become hyponatremic, and that can be dangerous as well. So you don't want to just drink as much water as possible, but focusing on starting with, you know, what you're having, that half of your body weight every day to stay hydrated. And then during exercise, I usually recommend that if people are training for more than an hour, they get their body weight before and after to see, you know, are you a heavy sweater? Are you losing a half a pound or 5 pounds in that hour? You know, so six. That really can be helpful. Because, yeah. Or 6 or 10 or whatever.
I, yeah. No, you know? I, yeah. I, no, seriously. I lose six. In an hour, 15 minutes, I'll lose 6 pounds of sweat in the spring and summer. It's terrible.
Yeah. So that's significant. And, you know, and I started my practice in South Texas. And so I had some people that would lose 10 pounds an hour. And so, wow. You know, you can, it gets very challenging. So electrolytes, if you are that heavy of a sweater, can help you a lot and help you stay hydrated. And so you also, you know, might need to take in the sports drink, you know, is something I might suggest for you, because lean mass loss or weight loss is also glycogen stores. And so that weighs something as well. And so you might be getting really behind on those glycogen stores because you're getting rid of so much water. And so having a sports drink, like you mentioned Gatorade, but really any, you know, any sports drink, there are so many on the market out there that has, you know, carbs. And again, remember, your body doesn't handle carbs the same when you're exercising. And so sugar is okay during runs. There are some people that tend to get hypoglycemic, and I've worked with several clients that do. So we do different fueling. So I'm talking about, in, you know, for the general, most people, your blood sugar is not going to be affected at all taking in sugar. So that sugar can help with the hydration as well. And so that's why a lot of sports drinks have it. It also helps with meeting those fueling needs for your brain. And I like to think of it as keeping your brain happy to stay hydrated and fueled well during your run. Because again, your brain controls everything. You've probably seen, you know, the well-trained athlete that can run forever that is, you know, has bonked, they've totally run out of fuel, or they're super dehydrated and their body just shuts down, even when they can see the finish line. And and they're like crawling on the ground. You know, we've all kind of seen those moments. Sure. For athletes. And that isn't that they, you know, we have enough body fat on us, even if you're really, really lean, to sustain our bodies for a long time. So it's not that they don't have fat, it's that their blood sugar has gotten so low, or they're bonking, or they're so dehydrated that their brain basically shuts their body down, and, you know, to preserve itself. And so, so fueling really helps prevent that. And so, you know, for you, even if you're not going to train for several hours and get to that point, but you staying hydrated on your weekly runs is so important, because like I said, it's hard to get caught back up if you get way too far behind. So your electrolytes would be what I would suggest for that, you know, electrolyte beverages. And then making sure that by the end of the day, you put that weight that you lost back on. And I think that's something else that for new runners, you know, a lot of people think of weight as, okay, gaining weight is a negative thing, losing weight is a positive thing, you know, so, but in the running world, you know, weight is also fluid. It's also fuel. And so trying to think of it in a different way and saying, okay, this is giving me information and I can really fine tune, you know, what I need in order to perform at my best. And so, and that's really what I recommend is seeing what works best for you. Cause if I drank as much as you do, I would be overhydrated.
Sure. So. I get it. Thank you. So with so much diet noise out there, you know, all the keto, intermittent fasting, plant-based. What's your advice for runners just trying to balance performance and everyday nutrition?
Yeah, well, you know, different eating patterns, you know, have been around for a long time. And so, you know, I suggest that people find what they enjoy the most and try to get away from a diet mentality and just think about, you know, intentionally eating healthy foods and however you eat, whether you eat keto or whatever, or plant-based, that you're eating real food. And so that's my biggest, you know, most important thing that I can say as far as nutrition advice, is that it doesn't matter if you, you know, what type of eating pattern you have. If you're eating all processed food, it's probably not going to be how you're going to be thriving for your life and to get what you want out of the nutrition that you're taking in. And so there's a lot of synergy in real food. There's a lot of, you know, thermic effect of digestion. So your body has to work a little harder for it. And so, so that is, you know, my overall theme. I don't have one type of eating pattern I recommend for everyone, except that they eat real food as much as possible. And with how busy people are, most people have to utilize some processed food, but if you can, sure, avoid the ultra processed food that doesn't resemble, you know, any type of natural food, that would be best. And I think with, you know, some of the programs, people focus so much on macros that they lose, you know, the overall concept of what they're eating, and they would rather have a protein bar, you know, versus a piece of fruit and some, you know, natural protein that maybe is from a yogurt or, you know, something that is a natural, like a plain Greek yogurt that just has two ingredients. They would rather have something they know exactly the numbers, you know, and I think we've gone off a little bit in a direction that isn't as healthy by doing that. Same thing, you know, with protein powders and, you know, that kind of stuff. So a lot of those foods have health halos is what we call it, where people think they're healthy just because they're diet foods, or a lot of healthy people tend to eat them. But the reality is you don't need any of those foods. Sometimes they can be helpful for convenience or time savings. But if you're eating the majority of your food from things like that, you're probably not getting a healthy intake of overall vitamins and minerals from real food and fiber, you know, that kind of stuff. And we do know that the added vitamins, the added fiber, none of that has the same benefit as you can get from real whole food.
I got you. Yeah, I have like many people, I have stuff in my pantry that I keep there just in case, and I use it as a filling in the blanks of my daily diet routine. If I missed out on something, if I don't have any fresh fruit in the house and I need something, then I'll grab a protein bar. But it's definitely not something I would sustain on for that matter, for the exact same reason you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so great. And, you know, again, everyone is different with their eating plan. So I just, you know, that's the other thing. I mentioned this with the hydration and the fueling is, you know, with so much information out there, that's finding clarity and focus and seeing what you really need is really important for people, because, you know, there's always going to be someone out there that says this is the best, you know, but there are so many factors. And like I said, you know, thinking about what do you enjoy, what's realistic for you, what can you actually do for the rest of your life and feel best with. And that is, you know, that is hugely important for people to think about, because, you know, I did all the diets before I was a dietitian. You know, I did the zone and and I'm almost 50. So I, you know, back in the day, you know, all Atkins and, you know, all of that. So when it before I went to school for nutrition, you know, so my family struggled with their weight. I struggled with my weight. And it wasn't until I really learned about the body and the science behind it and started eating real food and stopped the diets that it was then that I really was able to get the body that I wanted. And that is something that I saw, and I continue to see it in over 20 years of practice with people, that you don't need to do diets in order to get results. And oftentimes, you know, people get worse results after getting off the diet than they would have if they had never done it. And so that's just something I encourage everyone to do. You don't have to hate your food. You don't have to diet to get results. You can eat real food. I love food. I'm a foodie. You can do all of those things and eat it in a healthy amount with balance and get the results that you want for performance and for your body.
So many people are going to resonate with that last answer. That's what they need to hear. So you work in the fitness coaching setting, promoting wellness. You have a outstanding gym up there in Springfield. What are some of the small but effective daily habits that you would recommend for overall health that also benefits runners?
Yeah, so I love that question, because it really is about the small, you know, small things that you do every day that really add up to, you know, something amazing. And so, and that goes for a lot of things in life, and your health and wellness is no different. And, you know, really what I would suggest that you focus on is thinking about first, you know, making yourself a priority. And I know a lot of people say that, but they don't always follow through with it. But being intentional about what you need every day, because if you're meeting your needs, it's like putting that oxygen mask on first, you're going to be able to do whatever you love doing in your life better, and you're going to be able to thrive. And you don't often know how you feel or how negative you feel, maybe low energy, you're drained, you know, all of the things that come with not fueling yourself well. You don't know sometimes until you start doing better and you're like, wow, I feel so much better. It is very simple, but you do have to plan ahead. So that's the other thing. I don't think healthy habits just fall into your lap. I think, you know, that intention and thinking about what do I need to be healthy today. So that comes with planning your runs. And a lot of people listening to this probably plan their run. Like, when am I going to run? Where am I going to run? Who am I going to run with? You know, how far, how fast, all of that stuff. So runners tend to be very structured and intentional about getting their runs in. And so, you know, I would love for people also to think about, okay, what do I need to fuel myself as well tomorrow? What do I need to bring with me? So, it is, you know, it's typically bringing a lunch, a snack, you know, those kinds of things to help make healthy living easy. Because if it's not easy and accessible to you without having to think about it all day long, is probably not going to happen. And so that's what a lot of what I do with people is helping them see, okay, what can I do? What's realistic? How can I make this work with my busy life? You know, and make it happen, because most people are motivated and most people do want to live their best life and be healthy. And it's just that other things get in the way, or maybe their environment is such that they don't have a lot of healthy food around and they're super busy and the easiest thing is to go grab fast food. So it is super easy to eat unhealthy in this country, super easy. Sure. And it is more challenging to eat healthy. It's not impossible, but you do need to have that intention. And so I suggest planning ahead, you know, again, putting your nutrition needs as a high priority, just like you do running. And then also thinking about balance with your exercise, because a lot of runners, you know, don't always do the cross training or the strength training. And as, you know, someone who's approaching running in my 50s and that kind of, you know, the strength training I've done over the years I'm really seeing the benefits of that. So, you know, so not cutting corners on some of that. And then the last thing that I'll say is that something is better than nothing. And I think, you know, I don't know if it's runners tend to be very driven and focused, but I struggled with this early on, is just, okay, if I couldn't do like whatever distance run, I wasn't going to do anything, you know? And so, that's something that I also suggest, are those small steps, but a little bit of something is really helpful. And you don't have to, you know, do a full run to get benefit. You don't have to eat perfectly healthy or have a whole meal to get a benefit. If you're going to eat fast food, add a piece of fruit with it. You know, anything that you're doing to be intentional about healthy living can be helpful. If you don't have a lot of time to strength train or you don't want to go to a gym, there's so many things online that you can do. Tabatas are one of my favorite, you know, simple little exercises to do. If you haven't ever heard of them, you can download a timer, but it's an interval workout that's 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, of whatever exercise you want to do, 8 rounds. And so you could do push-ups and it takes 4.5 minutes. So 20 seconds of push-ups, rest for 10, repeat that for 8 rounds. Something as simple as that. So I think often, with all the information, all the things that we need to do every day, we get overloaded. And so, sure. So finding something simple and small that you can do, and just starting with what's the next step that a healthy person would do, you know, and am I doing that? Or what's one thing I can do today to take care of myself? So make the time for it, because it's really an investment in your health, you know, and you're the only one that can do it. That's something I think a lot of people need to hear too, because I think sometimes we're waiting for, oh, tomorrow or whenever I have more time or whatever it is. But the reality is you can do something today, and, you know, everybody's different, but everybody can do something.
Yeah, I really agree with that. It resonates with me. The intentional and incremental changes will sustain you so much further than you would ever imagine. So, many beginning runners worry about gaining weight and not losing weight quickly enough. How should runners reframe their relationship with food and body image in regards to the weight loss or weight gain as they get more into the sport?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. And I think, you know, a lot of times people start running, you know, to lose weight or, you know, that kind of, that's one reason I started running. And so, so being able to see my body as, you know, an athlete's body and, see it for more than just my weight. So, and this is something I help my clients look at too, is, you know, again, thinking about fuel, hydration, because you can lose weight by being dehydrated or not fueling well, or over dieting. And those are going to be negative impacts on running. And so, so looking at it where, okay, I'm going to, you know, give my body an optimal, you know, an optimal fueling, optimal hydration, optimal foundation really to support what I love to do. So looking at what your body can do for you with running instead of, you know, trying to control your body. So really working with it is something that I encourage people to do. And then there's a ton of negative self-talk that people do with their bodies all throughout the day. And so trying to help people acknowledge that they're seeing and doing that, and then also helping them reframe by having positive thoughts about themselves. And a lot of people don't do that intentionally either. So, so thinking about what is my body doing that it couldn't do yesterday, or how is my body helping me feel success? And so things like that, and thinking about it in more of a positive way and having those conversations, if anyone has kids, you know, having those conversations with them as well, just to help people feel empowered and connected to their body. And then lastly, I would say if your body's telling you that it's not thriving, maybe you're overweight or your labs are not great or whatever it is, or you're feeling like you're not where you want to be, you know, being kind to yourself and thinking, okay, this is my body communicating with me that it's not getting something it needs. This isn't me, you know, as a failure, as a person or anything like that. And we know from positive psychology, I'm a wellness coach, and so we work a lot with positive psychology, but we know that if you are focusing on what you're doing well and positive things, people tend to have better results. And so if you're beating yourself up all the time and feeling like your body never cooperates or your body sucks or whatever people tell themselves, then, you know, or you always gain weight, it's not possible for you, then oftentimes people follow along with behaviors that are going to make that happen. And so, so if you can think about, you know, what your body's doing well and start with that and start building a relationship with your body, that can be very helpful. The other thing I want to mention too is just, you know, going through as you get older, and I know you started running when you were older, and I didn't start running till I was in college. I wasn't like a youth athlete or anything. And so, so I was almost 30 before I did my first marathon, much younger than I am now. But as you get older too, you know, and running through all the things or running through having kids or, you know, all the different stages in your life, running through injuries, you know, and, you know, thinking about there are going to be times in your life when your body isn't able to do all the things you want it to do. And instead of beating yourself up about that, thinking about, okay, what can I focus on right now? Because there have been some amazing gifts in my life from, you know, injuries or other things that have happened where I wasn't able to run like I wanted to, and I was able to focus on something else that I didn't usually have time for. And so, and that was a gift, you know, so then I was able to strengthen this other part that needed some attention, you know, and then I could get back to running and be stronger than I was before and get better results than I could have gotten if that hadn't have happened. And so, so looking for those positives, you know, with both running and your body, I think really can be helpful because there's almost always something beneficial you can get out of it if you look for it.
Great. So now we're going to talk about minerals and vitamins here. So are there specific vitamins, minerals, or supplements that runners should be mindful of, especially those with high training volumes or plant-based diets?
Yeah. So some of the nutrients that you might want to get tested, you know, if you, when you go to the doctor, if you, especially if you have a lot of miles or you're plant-based, is your iron, you know, so that can be something. But I usually recommend testing ferritin because that's your iron stores. And if you find out that you're anemic after you're already anemic, then it takes a lot of time to get that built back up, like several months usually. And if you can catch it before you become anemic, then it won't take you as long typically to get out of that, and you won't get as bad usually. So, and that's where ferritin comes in. You typically have to ask your doctor for that, but that is something that I recommend that people get tested just to make sure that their ferritin levels are in a good place. And so if they're not, then usually I try to have people, you know, get more iron in their diet, and then also more vitamin C, which is from fruits and veggies, so to help with iron absorption. And then if that isn't helping, then we would recommend a supplement. And sometimes I recommend a supplement anyways, depending on how low the ferritin is. But so ferritin's one. And iron's important because that's going to really help. That's going to affect your energy levels and your ability to run well. So that's an important one. And then typically vitamin D is another one that you can look at. If you run at night always, then you may not get that much sun, you know, but that's one that I typically suggest getting tested as well. But otherwise, you know, runners tend to have, you know, besides iron, you know, tend to have, you know, a higher intake of nutrients. So if you're eating healthy food, you usually are going to be able to eat more food than a non-runner and typically meet your needs a little bit better than somebody who doesn't run. So often we see runners doing pretty well if, you know, you're eating a pretty healthy, well-balanced eating plan.
So you, it's okay. So based on that, then what you're saying is a runner who's eating the proper balanced diet might not have to supplement with additional vitamins and minerals because they're already getting it.
Right. Yes. And that's often what we see with athletes. But if you are trying to, you know, decrease calories or not eating, you know, balance, then, you know, a basic multivitamin can help. I recommend a whole food based vitamin if you are going to take one, just because absorption is typically better from whole foods. And so a brand I really like that I don't sell any supplements. I look at third party tested supplements because supplements are not regulated. And so, and oftentimes, you know, you're not going to know there's a problem with a supplement unless people start having a bunch of negative issues. Somebody reports it to the FDA, they do an investigation. And, you know, and by that point, I mean, a lot of people have taken it. So, I would just, you know, make sure that you're not just taking a bunch of supplements that you may or may not need. You know, they cost a lot. And also, again, they are totally unregulated. You know, Mike, you and I could start a supplement tomorrow and put whatever we want on the label and put whatever we want in the product, and no one would look at it, you know, unless someone started dying, you know. So that's the reality of supplements. And the supplement industry is a $1 billion industry. People are making a lot of money on supplements. And so, you know, so that's something that, you know, I just, you know, caution everybody about, because for the most part, you can get most of the things you need from food. And so from the basics of food, if you're eating well, and then having a basic, you know, multivitamin. And when I say basic, I just mean nothing that has a bunch of extra stuff. But Garden of Life is a brand that typically tests really well. And they have a whole food, you know, based type of vitamin that is a multivitamin. You get your B vitamins in the natural form, not the synthetic form. Some people have a hard time absorbing those synthetic forms. Most people tolerate those really well. And often if you're eating well too, you don't have to take the full dose. So you could take it every other day or half a dose and be fine as well. Because again, I mentioned before, there's a lot of synergy and nutrients with food. So things like vitamin C helps absorption with iron. And so so when you eat real food, you get a lot better absorption from things. So that's what I recommend for the most part, unless there's an issue with a lab or a reason to take it. So because okay. Again, you just don't know. There's a lot of, right now they're looking at heavy metals and stuff, and you know, and so And that goes for, you know, supplements like protein powders and that kind of stuff. Those are considered supplements, not foods. And so there's no regulation in that as well. So you just have to be sure you're getting a third party tested one. NSF is a certification that's safe for sport. And so supplements that are NSF certified can be, you know, helpful. So, and if you are, you know, running in college or anything like that, or you have a runner in your life that is a professional athlete, oftentimes, you know, you have to definitely watch supplements so you don't get any banned substances. But I recommend that for anybody because I don't want anybody to take a banned substance they didn't know they were taking anyways. But
yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, but you just have to really watch that.
Okay. All right. So second to last question, I guess. So as a runner yourself, what's one lesson that you've learned about fueling your body that you wish you knew earlier in your own running journey?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say just how important it is. It's amazing. You know, I think, you know, a lot of runners, like you have that intentional running plan and you're working on your running by running. But I really underestimated, you know, the time between runs, you know, what I was doing during that time from sleep to nourishment to hydration, you know, how much of an impact that had on my ability to run like I wanted to run and improve my performance. You know, from the first, you know, and I had been a runner for several years, but I was not a dietitian yet, and I was not a sports dietitian either. And so, where we have more training in that, but I, you know, I was able to take 45 minutes off of my marathon time between the two races where I became a sports dietitian and wasn't one before. And that's a huge improvement. And so, you know, just how important it is. And then also how you don't have to diet in order to get what you want. And so if you work with your body, you know, with the food and you nourish your body when it needs fuel, your body will do amazing things. And so, so it's just really part of taking care of yourself and recovering well, and your body will perform really well. So that's probably the biggest thing, is just how important it is.
Okay. So my final question, one I like to ask pretty much everybody, is there something that I didn't ask you that you would like to bring up or that I should have asked you?
I think the only thing we didn't cover, which I mentioned a little bit, but is just that, one of the things we didn't cover, but just as strength training too, as beginner runners, you know, just encouraging people to make sure you're strength training a couple times a week, and doing lateral movements. And so, running is in one plane of motion. So most of the time, so unless you're doing some trail running or something, or, you know, falling, but doing some lateral movement, because your hips and hip stabilizers tend to get your hips get tight, and some of your stabilizers get a little bit weak. And so, you know, doing some of those types of things in different planes of motion, working on core, you know, and making sure that you're doing a little bit of cross training, you know, with some intervals and that kind of stuff. Is very important, you know, so, for a lot, you know, having longevity with your running career, and then, you know, just making sure that you're listening to your body, educating yourself. There's a lot of noise out there. I know we talked about that a little bit, but just, you know, that's why I love this podcast where you have people coming on and, you know, and just be a skeptic with whatever, you know, what anyone says, and the stuff I said too, you know, if, you know, cause it is science, and we don't have all the answers, and everybody's different. So, so making sure that, you know, you're assessing how your body's doing, seeing how you're feeling with what you're doing. And if you're feeling great and thriving and everything's amazing, then that's awesome. But if you're not, then, you know, think, okay, what can I do differently, moving forward? So, but yeah, the strength training is important for longevity. I didn't focus on it when I first started, but then pretty soon after I started, I did focus on it, and it has really helped me over the years.
Yeah. I'm an avid active gym goer, and like I worked out today and then I ran right after. I do that first. I always lift first and then I run. Been doing it forever now. But when I started running and I started focusing more on like doing leg days instead of skipping leg days and running as my leg exercise, but actually doing leg day workouts. I was like you in a 4-year period from my first marathon to the last one where we ran into each other again. I shaved a half hour off my time. And I think it was more than likely, obviously due to good training, but because of the cross training that really benefited me and it kept me injury free. I've never really had an injury much to speak of because I constantly cross train. So I think that is something very important that most people need to hear about.
Yeah, well, good. And like I said, it's something that it's easy to just run if you love running. So often you have to make yourself do something, but a little bit goes a long way, like what we talked about before. So yeah. And also, you know, people, if anyone has questions about something specific too, they're welcome to reach out to me and I'm happy to answer questions as well. So they're always specific questions. And, you know, the only other thing, I know we aren't really talking about racing, that I'll say is just, you know, make sure you're practicing during training, that you're practicing what you're going to do on race day. A lot of times people think they don't need it during training, you know, but you do, that's when you're training your gut as well. And you're working on, you know, not getting too far behind. So just because you can do a run during the week without fuel doesn't mean that that's going to be the best option for you. So, you know, so anything, you know, under an hour workout, typically you don't need a lot, but again, for you, like you want to stay on top of hydration. But if you're running for more than that, you know, fueling, having some carbs in there can really help you, and making sure that you're doing that consistently, can help you, you know, have a better race day. And so, and also not get so far behind and have your body have some fuel that it can start recovering with, more quickly. Like we were talking about that recovery being important. So, so practice what you're gonna do on race day, nothing new on race day. With your
feeling. Yes, very good. I've never had to stop at the porta potty yet, and I don't intend on it. I don't want to have a bad stomach issue. Well, thanks a lot, Cassie. I appreciate the time. This episode is also brought to you by Performance Bullet. I also take one or two caffeine bullets with me on my runs. Caffeine Bullet isn't just like regular gels, drinks, or pills. All of their chews use buccal absorption, meaning that the caffeine is absorbed through your cheek and gums. This way it hits your bloodstream a little, 5 minutes. Kicking in is up to 3 times faster than other sources of caffeine. That faster release is a game changer, especially mid-run when you need energy right now. Caffeine bullets improve performance across all distances, from 5Ks to ultras, and at every type of training run, whether it's intervals, tempos, or those dreaded long runs. And yes, I took them with me on my marathon and my ultra. They've been shown to increase endurance by up to 6%, so you can run faster for longer, reduce pain and fatigue when it matters most, and deliver a performance-enhancing caffeine dose of 100 milligrams. Bypass the gut, reduce the chance of stomach issues during harder efforts. Nobody wants those problems. Together, they help you train better, recover stronger, and to set new PBs. For a limited time, if you use the code RUNNINGFORBEGINNERS at checkout, you'll receive a 20% discount on your order. Just use the code RUNNINGFORBEGINNERS. A huge thank you to Cassie Dimmick for sharing her expertise, experience, and passion for helping runners thrive from the inside out. Remember, your body is the engine, and what you put into it matters. But it doesn't have to be complicated. Small habits, consistent choices, and the right mindset can make all the difference. Be sure to check out the blog post linked in the show notes for some practical tips and resources from today's episode. And if you found this episode helpful, share it with a running buddy, and don't forget to subscribe. Until next time, keep fueling up, and let's run forward together. Thanks for listening. I hope you hit the like button, follow the podcast, and share with your social media contacts. You never know who in your circle has wanted to run, but for whatever reason was too shy or fearful to undertake the challenge. I hope to point out the inclusiveness of running and give information that's accessible and relatable from a relatively new runner's perspective. Don't forget, you're responsible for your own health. Please talk to your doctor if necessary before starting any new physical activity. Any products advertised on the show and purchased using the codes Run With Mike or Running For Beginners will earn me a commission. This podcast was created, written, produced, edited by myself, Mike. Show me is every day to play, but you first.